Incoming transmission.
We are back for the best of both worlds, and we have a guest he's going to come back to, and we're going to get into some of the most amazing Star Trek that we've ever seen on television. And we are joined by the wonderful and the illustrious co-host or host of Computer Resume, Mr. Todd Davis. Of course, you know Jason Gaston and VHS Jace. Todd, welcome to the Captain's Quadrant. What's going on, bud?
Oh, fellas, thank you so much for having me on. I'm super psyched to be here. Thank you so much for having me on. And I'm super pumped to talk about this two out of three parts of a story.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like a beastly of an episode, man. This was the creme de la creme, the cream of the crop, if you will. It's a Macho Man reference. I don't know if you guys ever watch wrestling or not, but let's not muck about, as Jay says.
Cream rises to the top, baby.
Yeah. Let's give Jason Roy Gaston the chair. Let him do the synopsis. You can make it up, because we like when you do that.
You're not giving me scripts?
You can make it up, Jason.
You're going to trust me to ad lib? Oh, my right. God.
Go for it. I like when you ad lib. You're so good at it.
The crew of the USS Enterprise encounter their greatest rival of all, the Borg.
There you go.
As they begin their journey towards Earth to assimilate the Federation, they kidnap Captain Picard, and Riker must make the hardest decision of his life.
Indeed, indeed. All right, well, let us.
Also, Shelby is there.
Also, Shelby is there with her hair. Well, WTF did we just watch?
You know, looking at that clip, I do think he does show half a cheek on one side. We'll
maybe
have to slow it down and analyze it just
yeah,
for, you know.
Good luck with that. Good
for
luck
science. With that.
Yeah. Right before we flick over to WTF that we just watched, let's say a quick hellos to Cosmic Mom, live long and prosperous.
Hi, Cosmic Mom.
Hey, Damon J, welcome. Hello, Damon, our friend. And of course, My Figure Universe. Greetings, gents. Good to see you all.
G'day.
All right. Our guest, Mr. Todd. WTF did we just watch?
Oh, we watched the breakdown of probably one of the strongest sci-fi characters on television to this point. Like Picard holds a special place in my heart. I've never shied away from saying this on my show or any other show. And I'll say it here. He was the voice of reason that I needed as a young man, you know, calm but stern, understanding and wise. He actually looks a lot like my dad. So there's a whole, I definitely need to go to therapy about all of this. But yeah, it's, you know, he's been portrayed as this kind of unflappable character, and we see him just in a second take over, which narratively speaking is great because it gives us a sense of like, oh, nobody's safe. Like we already lost Tasha Yar early on, which kind of cemented that, but it was kind of like, okay, yeah, we lost Tasha, but did we really lose Tasha? Well, now the captain gets taken. All bets are off, man. Like, so this is, what did we just watched? Some hella good television, man.
Oh yeah. Mr. VHS Jace, WTF did we just watch?
We just watched, I think, a really great
Riker double episode, folks. Yeah. Because it's really a story about Riker. And overall, watching it again, it's really a story about ambition. Riker's ambition, Shelby's ambition, the ambition of the Borg and even the Starfleet itself. And so it's you know, we get caught up sometimes in the Lakuta, like, the, you know, Picard turning into Lakutus of Borg and all that. But really, primarily, that's what the show is about. And I think the other brilliant thing about this episode is its fact they created one of the finest hour and a half of television out of necessity. Now, that's a bit of background because the fact of the matter is they didn't know whether Patrick Stewart was coming back.
Yeah, so that's the big thing. So they
craft a story to kind of do a Passover, potential Passover. And I know that the second version of that second episode script actually exists. They wrote two scripts.
Oh.
Yeah, so, but it, I always thought, what a gift this is, because it's like, we have to get out, we have to come up with a good season ending, we have to kind of wait a, we don't know if, you know, Patrick Stewart's coming back, what do we do? And they create, like I said, one of the greatest episodes of television probably ever made, especially in the 80s.
Yeah.
And if you think of great television in the 80s, you're probably thinking that, the finale of MASH, and I don't know, the Los Angeles Olympics maybe, like... probably the three great events of that decade. So, no, it's a stalwart episode. It's also an important episode. But the only the only stench I think it has, now you guys might put me right here, but is the last episode of Enterprise taking place halfway through the first episode of Best of Both Worlds, because he's not sure what he wants to do his career. Am I wrong there? I'm wrong.
No, it takes place between the episode of the Pegasus.
Yeah. I haven't watched Enterprise a lot, but there you go. So no stench. It's goddamn perfect. So what can you say? I mean, I'll have a lot more to say, but they were my initial thoughts.
All right. Jason, Roy, Gaston.
We just watched the answer to how do you keep a nerd in suspense for 3 months. I watched the Best of Both Worlds part one. I think I was like 15 when it came on. I watched it and I was just like, wow, this is really, I had honestly stopped watching the show regularly at that point because the first season pretty much chased me off. I came back for the second season. That one chased me off. I missed the third season, which is arguably the best season, but I watched that episode and I was just like, wow, this is really good. This is really good. I can't wait to see how they wrap this up. Oh God, to be continued. Well, I'll watch it next week. I didn't understand how TV seasons work back then. so I just kept coming back week after week, like, well, maybe they'll play it next week. And then I don't know, for some reason I didn't watch it for another month, and then they played part two and I didn't catch it, but I tuned back in for Family and I'm like, this is a weird second part. So it was all messed up for me. But I will say, when you think about the all-time greatest cliffhanger in television history, you are talking about this episode.
Yeah,
everyone, whether they are a Star Trek fan or not, knows Mr. Worf, fire, dun 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 dun. Everybody knows that. They reference it on Family Guy all the time. I just love that. But yeah, it's an incredible episode. There is just this part one has this great, I don't know, air of finality to it. Like, you really don't know if they're going to be able to beat this enemy. And then part two, I do think, is slight step down in quality. And it's more of the entire crew, Riker mostly, just strategizing to get the captain back. But yeah, it was great because we didn't know if Picard was coming back. We didn't know what was going on. We didn't even know if the show was going to be renewed or not because, you know, it was Star Trek. Star Trek lasts 3 years and that's it. Who's ever heard of Star Trek series going on for 7 years? But yeah, I think season three was an incredible season. I think it's arguably Star Trek The Next Generation's best season. And this episode capped it off. And it is just chef's kiss, an amazing episode. I would definitely turn around and watch it again, especially once, especially whenever you're watching the scene of the Enterprise getting attacked and Shelby jumps out of her command chair to go say something to Data, and you notice, especially in this new crisp Blu-ray transfer that they have, that the camera like bumps into something. And whenever she gets to Data, the camera goes boom. I was like, I've never noticed that before. But
that's yeah.
Did anyone notice, actually? I think there's one moment in this, because it's in high def now. You see where they would put the black matte cardboard over certain parts of the display screens because the light would hit it otherwise and create, you know, feedback into the camera lens. So they tape black bits of paper all over the place. Didn't matter back in the day. Matters in Blu-ray now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can see the screw holes where, like, they're keeping the panels to the wall and everything. I'm just watching this one. It's great. Don't remember any of this, but I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that that model of the Enterprise looks spectacular in the Blu-ray.
Now, did you guys notice the finish difference between Generations in that? Remember I had said when we talked about...
Oh, right, about the
texture. If you haven't seen our review of Generations, be sure to go back and watch that.
So, but, Joe, basically, to refill, Joe had thought the Generations version of the D was a bit more smoother and didn't have the texture of almost the slight discolorized panels on the outside of the ship, correct?
Yep.
So basically, he's just being fussy, everyone.
Yeah,
because they were using the 6-foot model.
Did you guys watch this on Paramount Plus, or did you watch it on Blu-ray? Because I have the theatrical release.
Paramount Plus.
Oh, I have the Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I don't have the next gen.
When I saw that they had done a theatrical edit together on Blu-ray, I was add to cart. Looks great. It's got a bunch of great features. Oh, yeah. Good. It's really worth. I mean, it's even if you don't own anything else on DVD or Blu-ray, that's worth having by itself. It's worth getting.
All right, I'll have to go and venture for that. There's a lot of like mom and pop video stores that are popping up now, and where I am in the Upper East Coast, so you know there is an opportunity for me to grab that. That'll be amazing because I did grab. I don't have it with me, but I did grab the original series movies all on Blu-ray, and it's really great. Except Star Trek VI, where you see like where Spock's wig ends and the grays of actual Leonard Nimoy's hair begins. It's like, oh, oops. But so what WTF did we just watch again, as everyone has said so eloquently before, the greatest episode of television, two-parter suspense ever. Our friend, My Figure Universe, said that was the longest summer ever. Yes. When you're waiting in that time period of that time, because it was hard to even catch it on a rerun. If you missed it, you really missed it back then because there was no streaming. I remember back in my day. So I thought it was epic. The captain gets abducted into the Borg that we've seen once before, and they are terrifying. And this was like the second try at Star Trek horror, which I thought they succeeded extremely well in doing. And we watched something that has been extremely hard to replicate. I haven't seen a better two-parter, season finale two-parter on television since. It is very hard to compare that to any other show. I think
I don't know. A couple of years later, I mean, who shot Mr. Burns? We had to.
It was the baby. God,
you ruined it for everybody. They didn't know that.
No, it was awful, awful, awful. So I'm gonna say
one of the episodes. In terms of a two-parter, there's a special feature. There's a special feature on the Blu-ray of the folks going through, of course, after the fact. And kind of looking back, but it's Marina Sirtis, and for whatever reason she went off on a Dallas tangent of who shot JR.
Oh,
and it goes on a little too long.
I was like, ironically, Marina, somebody in the chat said the exact Trek, this is the who shot JR cool people.
That's right.
Our good friend the Philip Ryan, good to see you, sir. Yes. Everything correlates. Everything's connected. TV is one mass universe. I also noticed for the first time, I had thought Gene had passed in season 2, but it was actually later on. So Gene had partaken in the creation of one of the best villains in Star Trek history. And I didn't realize that. And of course, I'm not really paying at the time. I was a young mute. So I had no idea who Gene Roddenberry was until I was older. So,
you know, I actually have a fun tidbit about the Borg's genesis.
Oh, yeah, that was a question I had.
Did he
pass away during season 3 or season 4?
Season 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hung in there.
So the Borg.
Okay.
Y'all are gonna think I'm making this up because this is like a recurring joke, but the Borg were originally going to be the Butt Bugs.
No.
They were going to be the Butt Bugs. It's like the
conspiracy bugs. Yeah.
Yeah, the conspiracy bugs. They were going to be the evolved version of the Butt Bugs, and they were going to be this hive mind of like big, tall, scary human-sized bugs. It's like those were the larvae; these are the adults.
Oh shit!
And
that would have been terrible.
Yeah, and that was the plan actually all the way up until shortly before Q Who, because they looked into making these like bug puppets, and we're talking like praying mantis, like really scary looking puppets.
Oh, maybe that would
be. And the show just basically figured out this is going to be hella expensive if we do it this way.
And very limiting, isn't it?
Yeah. Really. So they dropped the Butt Bugs, and they went with cybernetic life forms. Because if you think about it, the Butt Bugs assimilate people as well, don't they?
Yeah.
So we would have had the same best of both worlds, except we would have had Picard with a bug up his butt.
I'd heard that really the Borg were kind of mentioned all the way back in season 1.
They were
in the Romulan episode where they mention in a meeting about some outposts completely destroyed, like giant cavern. And
really,
yep, 100%.
Wow! So this was long term planning.
Well, the genesis of it, yeah, like the idea of something coming for the Federation was kind of born back.
Like,
there,
oh crap, the Ferengi aren't working out. People think they're funny.
the neutral zone. Thanks for that.
Wow. Yep. I got to go check that out. That's amazing.
There we go. So technically, the Borg have been.
I'm the guy that knows the least about Star Trek.
You got me. I've watched this episode like a million times. All right. Let's get into why would you do that?
There's nothing there.
He really yokes it. Like,
but Captain, it says to be continued, and I don't know if I can wait. Can we slingshot around the sun?
Oh my. Oh my. All right, Jason Roy Gaston, why would you do that?
Why would we make the most awesome,
the most amazing episode
finale ever?
Yeah.
Jeez, why?
I don't know.
Like I said, this is kind of like a season 3 victory lap. I think that they just had some incredible episodes that year. You know, this was the year of Yesterday's Enterprise.
Yeah.
This was the year of the Q episode with the Deja Q. Is that the one?
Yep.
Where he's turned human.
Oh yeah.
I love that one, and it's got the mariachi band.
Yeah,
it was just this incredible season with this incredible cap to it and all, everything.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it was great. I mean, why would you not do that?
Yeah,
why would you not?
Do you think we should give this particular piece? Oh, actually, you know what? I'm going to do redeeming features is going to be changed into missed opportunity, because I have a really good missed opportunity that you shouted me out on the Instagrams about, because you thought I put up the wrong clip. I did not put up the wrong clip. I did that for a reason. It was a missed opportunity.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Later, but
you put up the wrong clip. Oh, I did that for a reason.
I did. And the reason is today.
It's like make up the synopsis on the spot.
I do these things on purpose.
Right. I never make mistakes. I just make learning opportunities.
No, I have fun. So, our guest. It's the Todd Davis. Why would you do that?
Yeah. Why would you show the prodigy who finally gets to sit at the table with the adults? Why would you show him sucking so hard at poker? if anybody's watched Rounders or sat at a poker table for any length of time, like Wesley should have this wrapped up in a hand or two. And he's just like, well, I've already put in a lot of chips, so yeah, I'll fold. Like, idiot. Come
you're
on.
So right. Like, he turns into like more of a kid than he was here in season one.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Ugh. He should have been out already. He should have been out already. Like, that would have made more sense for him to have folded before that scene even started. And then he's like, yeah. Nah, I know what's coming on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think that was I think it was really well done. In terms of other things, you know, it's tough to find. So the one thing, why would you do that? Why would you cut off part three? They've gone, and it's well documented in more than one place, that the next episode, Family, was supposed to be part three. And I think it's such a great end cap, and they cut it off, and it's just kind of, oh man, it ties in so well, and we really get to kind of see this full arc with Picard, and even seeing him back on the ship at the end of the day, or even just walking down the road. He's got the Starfleet uniform on again. He's got the bottle of wine in his hand from his home, and it's okay, I'm ready to get back out there. It's such a nice cap, but they, for whatever reason, just cut it off. I don't know if that was an executive decision, or if that was a decision of the director, you know, the bowl, or why they did that. But that's the one thing that is a little bit frustrating to me, is why would you cut off the third part? So.
Interesting. Mr. VHS Jace.
Okay, well, I'm going to change things. I just got questions, a bunch of questions.
Go right? for it.
Okay. What level of creepy of an admiral says to about Shelby that she's just an old man's fantasy?
Oh,
did
yeah.
anyone else have creepy vibes? Yeah. Like, you dirty old bugger. What are you doing?
That was
he's definitely got some letters in his personal file.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we ever get the only time we ever get to see
his USS
Melbourne?
Some things don't age as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only time we get to see a ship, the USS Melbourne, it's in pieces. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, like, you know, come on.
In their defense, Star Trek also had a botany bay.
That's true.
Did anybody tell Wardrobe that Geordi's Soul Glow game is really strong in this episode? Did anyone notice how shiny his hair was?
His head was shiny. It was
if
weird.
He leant up against one of those panels, he would have left that
left
mark.
Like an outline, yes.
Let your soul glow!
Soul glow.
I love, one of the things I did kind of laugh at a little bit was the moment they do show up to the Borg. The way they shot it, everyone looks like they're crapping themselves right at the moment when the Borg ship's so close. And it was just like, fire everything immediately.
Yeah. Oh, you know what?
They didn't even like, Shelby's got a weapon that eventually doesn't work, which
kind of
like.
Wah, wah, wah.
Is her only clink, the only kink in her armor, by the way, because there's nothing wrong with her having ambition. And she was generally right every other time. So I don't want to disparage Shelby because I think she rocked it. She was just wrong at the most important time.
All right, yeah. This is our big moment. Here we go.
Yeah.
Nothing's happening.
Yeah.
All right.
Hang on. No, I've got one
Shelby,
other note
this
here.
This is your day. Morgan Freeman, it was in fact not Shelby's day that day.
Okay. And why would you have this really great scene at the end where you've got Data plugged into Lacutus and they're communicating, and then you cut to a moment where the plug is actually hanging half out of his head?
Yeah.
There's a moment where you see the plug and they cut to just an insert of Data, and it's half at the most critical time in the data, like he's amping up, you know, the levels right there. It's only for half a second, but I thought that was great. But I'm really nitpicking. I mean, really, again, why do you make the most amazing series? Because you had to.
Yeah,
because you needed a good idea to end the season, and they did it, and they rock because of it, and it becomes the most important episode in Trek, does it not? I mean,
yeah,
Really? Probably the most cornerstone?
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's a lot of things that go back to that day, isn't there? Really? You know, all the way to Picard season
the
three.
Ripple, the ripples of this two-parter are far and wide.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
one last
thing. Yeah, it is. And you know what? The other, why would you make an episode television that after, what is it, 1990 that came out?
Right.
So 34 years later, and it holds up strong.
Yeah.
Strong in just the way it's played, the way it's edited, the music.
Yeah.
The music is phenomenal in this episode. And you know what's so good about it is the moment the episode starts, there's this ominous tone immediately. So we're locked in, even from an audio perspective, that shit's about to get real. So, you know, it's amazing. Anyway, I'm just going to complete. Every time you come back to me, I'm just going to love more and more.
You know what else was amazing in this episode? Like,
Can't help it.
Yeah. Jason?
Let's talk about some things that I just wonder about. I'm going to talk about some negatives.
Okay. This is the space.
One, when O'Brien beams them down, he says that you're in the center of town. Should they not be in the center of the crater?
Yeah. Exactly. Good point.
That
yes.
bothered the heck out of me.
Oh, you're actually on the fringes.
And secondly, Geordi evacuating engineering has got to be the most unnecessary stunt work I've ever seen in my life. He could have literally just walked out, but no, he does that tuck and roll thing that he does every time they have to evacuate engineering. I think that Starfleet guidelines tell them, hey, we have to signal that everyone's out. The chief engineer has to roll out of the exit. Mm. That's gotta be some kind of guideline. Cause you almost see him go roll back up.
And it looked like a good stunt roll, didn't it? He almost he crept himself. All right, tuck. That's it.
Yeah. You could say he looked like a butterfly in the sky.
Didn't he do that in one of the films too? Was it Generations or First Contact?
He rolled underneath the closing door. As a matter of fact, I used to collect the cards back then, and there's actually a card of Geordi rolling underneath the door as engineering is exploding.
Wow.
And I'm just thinking, why can't they just make that door a garage door where if it senses somebody, it stops and goes back up?
You would think in the future they would have safety protocol.
I give him a pass. You're stuck in engineering the whole time. You're looking for a little bit of excitement occasionally.
Yeah. He pushes.
Yeah. And you know, the sad thing is, I bet Geordi's telling everybody, just walk out. Don't roll. Don't roll. Don't roll. Everybody's out. He rolls. Commander, roll. You said I'm in charge. Okay.
Slow is smooth. Smooth is fast. Let's go, people.
Oh, let's see. What other kind of nitpicks can I make? I've already talked about the camera hitting something whenever Shelby goes to talk to Data. It's a hilarious number that they left in the episode because they had 26 episodes in a season. Nowadays, I'm just that's unheard of. How did they do it? Because we're lucky if we get 10 episodes in a season.
It's crazy. What about the antimatter sparkles? That bothered me a little bit because
it was
like
fireworks.
Yeah, it looked fine.
Kind of looked like sparkles, guys.
I loved.
I'll give you a pass. It's 1990.
I loved how whenever Data and Worf go to get the captain and they're going in with their shuttle like this, and Riker says, "Get the hell out of there." And they're firing engines. And the shuttle goes.
And boom, blows up.
Yeah. I don't understand how they could have caught us. We were going over 52 miles an hour.
In space.
You know something that they solved because all the ships are busted anyway. But I'd heard this, I think, online somewhere one day. Why is every time they come out of warp, they always end up in the same plane as the other ships? You know what I mean? They end up. If one ship's like that and it comes out of warp, they're always on the same plane.
Yeah,
they're not like one's like that or one's under there like that. It's always in the same way.
Yeah, I guess for dramatic effect.
Because it looks television? Fine, nerd.
It looks fine, nerd, but
I also have to appreciate Locutus's trash talk. That is the most trash-talking Borg we've ever seen. Even Seven of Nine could not hold a candle to Locutus. And Seven of Nine was sassy as hell. But
the FU Picard moment
Picard was just sitting there, yes, Data, you're trash.
Yeah.
Worf, your people will serve us. They will bring me drinks and snacks and Earl Grey tea. The Borg cubes now serve Earl Grey tea. Troy, what do you do on this ship anyway? I don't know. I'm sensing great hostility. Yes, no kidding.
I reckon the big FU line is what he delivers to Will a couple of times. Number one. Yeah. The way he says number one is a big, like, he's sticking his finger up at Riker at that point, mocking him. Yeah, absolutely.
So one of the things I have to ask is, do you believe, do you believe that this was Riker's moment to take over the Enterprise? And the reason why he yelled fire in hopes that he would destroy the ship was, well, you know, you kind of told me off earlier in the episode. Why don't I take a commission? I'll take yours, man. And since they went and kidnapped you, this is my time. Do you feel like that's what kind of went into that dramatic fire?
Riker would not have done.
No. I think Riker would have done that,
not Riker.
I think Riker stays on as first officer, maybe with a little bit of guilt. Because he's like, dude, only a couple of days ago I tried to kill you. So I think I'll hang around. Because I'm feeling bad. I feel like I owe you one, dude. I'm going to hang around.
Of course, Picard would be like, Will, I literally did kill 10,000 people.
Yeah.
Shut up. Just shut up with this guilt crap. Be quiet. I don't want to hear it. Get out of my office now.
Mm.
Hey, you're Joe, fired. I've got a missed opportunity, too.
Melbourne blew up.
Oh, yay. Yeah. Here we go. Love that clip.
My missed opportunity is Picard as Lacutus never tucking the suit down.
Oh,
If he had just given it a little kind of nudge like that as Lacutus, I think I would have cried with joy, actually.
Yeah.
But I don't have a lot going on in life, so that's really
One of the biggest missed opportunity was actually seeing the full scale of the Battle of Wolf 359. And though they did pick it up in Star Trek Deep Space Nine, which is why I played that clip on the Instagram. Yeah, it is why. That is absolutely why. Because I thought that was a huge missed opportunity. I think if we would have seen that level of battle on TNG, and then when it happened in Deep Space Nine, it would have been like, oh, wow, they're up in the ante, because Deep Space Nine really went all out. And this Borg ship just came in and just sauced everybody.
I actually think it was smart not showing it, Joe.
Really?
Dramatically for the story. It is, and it's more emotionally weighted for those characters because they're off trying to survive in the nebula while that's kind of going down. Is that right? They've engaged that Borg ship.
Geordi was rolling back into engineering to fix it.
Yeah, he was rolling back. I think dramatically the fact that when they discover Wolf 5-9 and the tragedy that's happened there, I think it's better for the story. And, hey, if they'd shown it in that episode, Joe, maybe then that episode doesn't become so pivotal to the Star Trek universe.
You think so?
Because of we didn't see a lot of what happened, they were able to come back to it in other episodes and delve into the lore of what happened around 359. So, no, I think it was powerful that we didn't get to see it.
Interesting, Jace.
I think that
I got to agree with Jace on that because, you know, when it comes down to the rest of the franchise as a whole, you know, all you have to say is Wolf 359 and the impact of what the event was stand above. You know, even in Lower Decks, it's played off as a joke. But, you know, when Todd Stashwick as Captain Shaw gets a little bit of that liquid courage and spills the beans about what happened at Wolf 359 from his perspective. Yeah. I don't usually audibly react to things, but are we allowed to curse?
Yeah. No, you're good. We're adults. We're all adults here. Look at these beards. We're all adults.
I'm Australian. Of course I curse.
Okay. But that moment got a big, oh shit, out of me. And my wife was not, she likes Star Trek and she watches it with me, but she didn't really know all the nuances. So when I nearly jumped off the couch at that, she was like, what is going on? I was like, oh, just wait. He's about to tell you.
Yeah.
And but anyways, all of that to say, I think having it in the background as this thing that it was talked about, that we saw the aftermath of, that affected so many characters moving forward and, to be honest, moving backwards, because First Contact kind of led into an episode of Enterprise. The Borg have permeated the timeline throughout the franchise. And so, but with Wolf 359 being the crucial point of that, it's almost better that you don't see it. It's kind of like, because it's like the shark in Jaws. You catch little glimpses of it and you hear about it. You know the destructive power of it, but you never really get a good look at it. And that's almost more terrifying.
You know how you were saying the influence that episode, like Wolf 359 as an incident on Star Trek universe? Think about the design of the ships. Isn't it that the beginning of the militarization and redesign of all the Starfleet vessels to make them protect against the Borg?
That's true. Because then they like, you got the Defiant and then the Enterprise.
And that's fun. And that's interesting because, you know,
Akira.
You look at stuff like, you know, when Janeway's Voyager finally makes it back and it's got all this integrated Borg technology, that's kind of a step up for the Federation, you know. And even from this point moving forward into, you know, Deep Space Nine, technology jumps forward ahead. And it makes me think about the Kelvin timeline, where Admiral Marcus set up the Section 31 and built the USS Vengeance in response to not Borg, but in response to the Romulans coming through, that perceived threat. And their ship, the Narada, was so technically advanced. Like, we got to pull out all the stops. So it's kind of, it's kind of that reflection of where we are as a society, looking at our tendency to overreact at things, or our tendency to try to swing the pendulum back in the other direction.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it too, the ideology of Starfleet starts to change after that incident. It's tested. I mean, if Deep Space Nine is anything, that whole series is about testing, you know, the ideology of Starfleet, right? Because the stories are always pushing the boundaries, you know? Like, it's watching this episode again, I couldn't agree more. The power of that whole incident is probably the only thing I could think of compared to anything else is maybe like the Death Star, like just in the sense of a thing, an incident that's so integral to the franchise and is better, the franchise is better because of it. I mean,
I always just like the space fights, and I just would have enjoyed blow them up, man. Let's go, pew pew pew, you know. So I just think that would have been kind of awesome.
I love space fights too, but I think that narratively it would have done this episode a disservice to suddenly cut away from the Enterprise to show just carnage. And it would have taken away the shock from the scene. Now, if you want to see the Battle of Wolf 359, JTX, which is a YouTuber, is doing this series where he shows the Battle of Wolf 359.
Yeah.
And you actually do get to see
the carnage.
I've forgotten his name. The captain of the Titan A. What's his name?
Shaw.
Patchwick.
Yeah.
You get to see. You get to see Shaw, you get to see Captain Sisko on the Saratoga.
Yeah.
You get to see all of them. So if you want to see it, it's there, but it did not belong in this episode.
You get to see the Melbourne history.
Yeah, this episode needed to stay on the Enterprise. It needed to focus on Riker and Data and Worf and Shelby. We didn't need to go have fun anywhere else.
If I was to have a bit of a negative about Discovery and some of the new Trek, it is in the effects department. They show too much sometimes. I think they need to pull back a bit. Because, you know, in Discovery, as soon as that show started, they were showing everything. Ships, blimp, explosions, blimp, everywhere. And it's great, but sometimes Star Trek, I don't think, is dependent on that. And sometimes, I mean, how many episodes are we watching in a row where we're just seeing the ship go, you know, different planet each week?
Here we go.
But it's still amazing sci-fi.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's all about good story writing. This ticks all the boxes.
Yeah, there's a book about comics called Understanding Comics by Scott McCloud. And he actually talks about the idea of closure And I actually have the panel tattooed on my wrist. It's about closure, but yeah. Wow. The quote is, to kill a man between panels is to condemn him to 1,000 deaths. And the idea of that is whatever's happening on screen, on the page, whatever, is not nearly as bad as what's going on in your own mind. So by not, and this kind of goes back to what we just finished talking about not seeing it. By not seeing it, it's worse in your own head of just like, oh, there's body parts flying everywhere. It's like, no, that's not on screen. That's not in the episode. That's in your own head. You're the messed up one. Mm. So yeah, I think you know, seeing it and you know, having them dial back the special effects forces them to maybe turn the camera around on somebody who's watching it. And look at the popularity of reaction videos on YouTube. Yeah. And to see someone who's watching their friends and potential partners and, you know, people they care about, people they went through the academy about with, now they're dead bodies floating in space, but seeing the horror on their face in a close-up, like, ooh, that demands more of the actors. And I think that might make for a less expensive episode, but definitely more intriguing.
100%. I mean,
are we still in missed opportunities?
Yes, please.
Yeah, yeah. You got one?
I have one. Well, it's sort of a minor thing, but I kind of want to get y'all's reaction to it. They hinted at a lot of, possible romantic tension between Shelby and Riker. That obviously never came to be. And I think it might have been interesting in that alternate version where Shelby ends up as first officer on the Enterprise and Riker's sitting in the center chair with Shelby on his right and Troy on his left. I think would have been
Space Daddy.
I don't know how that would have played, but what do you guys think?
I would have loved to have seen a scene in that alternate fourth or fifth season where Riker's captain and he's got this thing going on with Shelby and he sits down and he looks at Shelby and smiles. Then he turns around and sees Troy and Troy's just looking at him like this.
Paramount, we have just delivered you a $1 million idea. We want What If Star Trek.
Oh,
make some what if steal from Marvel. Ooh, who cares?
Yeah,
but wouldn't that be amazing? You have animated what ifs of Captain Picard died.
Yeah,
hosted by John DeLancey.
That makes sense. Because
he's the watcher, right? He's
You're right. Look at this.
He can take hot shots at Marvel because, yes, I know what you're thinking. And Marvel did totally steal from us.
But that would be amazing, right?
We've been doing alternate universe stories since Mirror Mirror. How long has Marvel been around?
Exactly.
How long? I don't know. I don't pay attention.
Yeah. Geek Filter is in the audience tonight. I thought I saw his comment a second ago. Yeah. It's still there. But go tell Paramount that, Geek.
Well, we're trademarking it. We've got a recording of it. It's
exclusive.
I want an executive producer. I don't want to do anything. I just want to be paid with an executive producer.
I want to write it because I got some messed up ideas.
Yeah.
A ton of messed up ideas.
Yeah.
But what a way you could also do the Tarantino one. He wrote the script.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes. You could do an animated what if with him.
Yeah. I just hope nothing happens to anybody in a
somebody get me an agent.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, when you're in the States, we'll talk about it. All right. I think this is when I flip it to you for a little bit of fun, correct?
Oh, I think it's time for a Name That Trek episode.
That's right.
Here we go. You're clicking the bumper for me,
ready, or are we trying also to show us?
Because I'm.
It's time for Name That Trek episode. The hell is
that? Okay, everyone, welcome back to Name That Trek episode. And Todd, this is a really simple game. Right here, we have an image of an episode from Star Trek The Next Generation, and over 30 seconds, it's slowly going to come into focus. Now, what's going to happen is when you know what episode this is, you're going to give me a good old Aussie oi. And if you've sounded it first, you'll get to name it. Now, Joel, we're going to pick out some contestants from the live audience tonight.
All right. So
let's assign some people.
So just to be clear, I say oi tapestry, and that's it. That's how it works.
I think we got a record winner. I think the game's over.
The game is over.
King is over. You got it. Actually, I didn't blur it enough, did I?
No, you didn't blur it enough because I was like, oh, that's the one where Picard lost his heart.
I'm pretty sure that this is another, oh, I didn't make a mistake. This is all to teach you.
No. I thought it was blurry enough. I didn't think you could make it out. It's not I didn't make it blurry enough. And of course,
I
should have asked you what season, what episode it was.
Yeah.
It's season 6, episode 15.
I would not have gotten. I'll actually pull the curtain back a little bit. I'm a huge fan of Christmas Carol, and that is a Christmas Carol episode of Star Trek because he gets to see how his, or maybe Christmas Carol isn't the right analogy. It might be more It's a Wonderful Life. But it's definitely the Christmas episode of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Well, that was an episode of Name That Trekisode.
Oh, no, that was the whole segment. Did I ruin it?
We finally got rid of Joe, I think, did we?
Okay, now we can have fun.
Get rid of me? Now my internet, buffered me out of existence. Okay.
How about a missed opportunity? Just lean into It's a Wonderful Life, you know? Q, I want to live, Q. Q, let me live. You know, he comes back to the Enterprise going, Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas, Mr. Worf! Merry Christmas, Tin Ford! Merry Christmas, Stella Cartography that you won't see on screen for another 3 years! Merry Christmas, Wesley! Shut up, Picard! Shut up to you too, Wesley!
All right, should we go into the wheel, Joe, and see if Todd can predict what we're going to get before we do it, eh?
Yes. Let us now dive into one of our favorite sections of the show, the Wheel of Agony. Yes.
All right, here we are.
This is what will dictate the next week's episode. Our buddy Philip Bryan will be joining us. We're going to have a lot of fun there. And
should we go through some of the names of the episodes?
Jason Regaston, you're upside down, bud.
We're all upside down.
Yeah, he's got gravity issues.
He's got gravity issues.
What we do here, Todd, is they're all bad episodes, bar one. We always have one in the green, which is what the ecstasy booth. And last time we spun it, we landed on Best of Both Worlds. But every other episode besides the green one is crap.
Yep. So, all right, Jason Regaston, you want to name the episodes?
We have
Inner Light. Shades you guys think Inner Light is crap?
That's not my idea.
I hate that episode.
I didn't choose it.
Mine sucks.
There should be a giant battle in every
episode.
There
should be a giant battle.
So we have Shades of Grey, The Magics of Mangus, which is not the name of the episode. It's The Magics of Magus 2.
Sorry.
I told you that last time, and you still haven't fixed it.
I couldn't be bothered fixing it.
We have the Inner Leg.
The Inner Leg.
As the Inner Leg. We have The Thaw. We have Sub Rosa. We have The Emperor's New Groove. We have All Is Possible. Be quiet. We have Cast Is Die Thee. We have Sissin Nig. We have Monsters.
Okay. Can we spin the sucker now?
Let's spin, baby.
For the love of God, please.
Ooh. There we go. All right. We'll let it go. Now, when I press the click, we'll do a bit of a countdown. 3, 2, 1. Ready, guys? Should we do it?
No.
All right, Jason, read the synopsis.
All right, Jason.
This is the one with Beverly Crusher's grandmother's erotic journal. Oh, God.
I met myself the most handsome man today. He took me back to my apartment, and we made wild monkey sex for hours.
Oh, I sure.
All right. Thanks for the synopsis, Jason.
That was not the synopsis that I see on the screen. That's why I said, just let him
make it up. I like Jason's better. I like Jason's better.
Dr. Next week's episode is going to be horrible. Dr. Crusher meets the man in her dead grandmother's life. How could her dead grandmother have a life when she tries to put her affairs in order? Who wrote this?
IMDb.
Yeah.
Whom one of the local people warned her to stay away from by not lighting a candle that has been lit for generations.
Didn't light that candle, Beverly. Didn't like it. Didn't like the candle.
Well, there you go. That's what we're doing next week now, isn't it? Sub Rosa.
Had to put the word affair in there.
All right. Well, let me hit the old aftermath.
Now, why don't you go back to your quarters? I'll be along shortly to say hello.
So this episode is so infamous.
What Granny's ghost lover said.
Yeah, right. I'll be back along to say hello, Beverly.
I'll be back along to say hello again, Beverly. Always after me like a charm.
Oh, my goodness. Let us...
ever land on a planet full of Australians? It's always like Irish people or Scottish people.
Yeah,
no. A planet full of Australians.
The only time that I've seen it was in that Lower Deck set when they landed Sydney in 1982.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I think that would be great. It's hey, welcome to New Melbourne. Oi, how you doing? Come on.
It's the same as old.
I can't really say on this show how we would greet you, but you kind of get the gist.
See you next Tuesday.
Yeah, see you next Tuesday, guys. How you doing?
We had ourselves a little butt bug problem, but it couldn't get worse.
Yes.
We drank till those suckers.
Hey, you think those butt bugs were big over there? You'd see them in Australia. They'd be like 5 foot.
And they'd be poisonous.
New Australia.
They would be stealing children from backyards and stuff.
Oh, crud. We lost another one.
We've got to have another kid.
Make a new one.
All right. Let us go and say hello to the folks in the chat. There's been a lot of murmuring in the chat. Yeah. I made it a point to rewatch this week, but made sure to watch the two separate episodes. Watching the Blu-ray movie version loses something without the "to be continued." Interesting.
Dun, dun, yeah, I missed the part where the DeLorean flies off.
That's definitely the best cliffhanger. It's been a homage to so many times.
Absolutely.
I always thought the model they used during season 4 and 5 was the best.
It was. The best. It was great.
Damon J says the greatest part, two-part episode in Star Trek history.
I think that's undeniable, right? I think,
you cannot
give me another example. Redemption? Nah.
Nah.
Even though that's a great two-parter.
Yeah. Even the earlier seasons of
Chain of Command, maybe.
Wasn't a finale though.
No, that wasn't a finale. Good point. Good point. That's why I don't mention such.
What was the horrible one from season 6 to season 7? What was that one?
Descent.
Yes, Descent.
That's the one where Dan Schneider plays a Borg. Seriously, look in the background.
And he will fit into the suit.
Friggin' Dan Schneider, pedo sex offender Dan Schneider, sitting in the back as a Borg, just kind of
staring at all the other Borgs.
Oh, is that the one with Lauren Data? Is that that one?
Yeah.
Oh, that ended out really. That was like started out was dope because it was like, oh shoot, Lord just took over the Borg, and then it went. But even early episodes of TWD couldn't do as well of a two-part season finale as the best of both worlds. It makes sense. The butt bugs did send out a signal at the end. Yeah, the butt bugs. We're converting everybody.
It could have been to the. Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that board. Idea.
Oh, that is
was
a great
the plan.
Idea. They sent out the signal to the board. Hey, you want
to? There's nothing to say it didn't happen, though.
It's true.
For the last butt bug, pressed a button and, hey, come and get him.
Yeah, that's true. I liked You Can Call Me Bill. Saw it Wednesday. Sidebar.
Oh, yes. Happy 93rd birthday, William Shatner.
Yes.
What is he referring to? Is that a
William Shatner's 93rd birthday?
It's a documentary.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Our good buddy Bonnie was singing and rocking and wishing Bill a happy birthday.
Yeah. Well, man, like, he's the only Starship captain who's actually been to space, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The episode with Lore controlling the Borg is the second greatest Borg episode in TNG. Interesting.
Well, we just spoke about that. Wasn't that Descent?
Yeah.
Is it really though?
That cliffhanger was dope. It's just the other half of the episode was like.
And I suppose this is what makes this two-parter so strong is that the second part is
just
not as strong, but pretty still darn close.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the show of strength of Data, like when Picard with the Borg hand just is like, oh, I'm going to assimilate stuff. And then Data was just grabbing.
You know what? Something else not I chief, just remembered.
It off. You know, that was crazy.
One of the things I've just remembered now I loved about the episode two is just like the decision-making of Starfleet is pretty well on point. Like even who they choose to go back and get Picard.
Yeah.
Like, mate, we're going to get our two strongest dudes in there. We're going to get our smartest and our strongest dudes in there.
Yeah.
And I just felt like they were in this. What was really great about the ship is they were, except for bloody Shelby's stupid weapon that doesn't work, everything else, they were doing everything they could right.
Yeah.
Was going to work. It was.
It didn't.
Was it really?
Would have, though. I mean, it, on paper, it worked. I still have the CD of this episode. I still have
the
soundtrack.
The music's phenomenal, Joe.
It is phenomenal, yeah. I just didn't know that they had episode CDs, so something can go
cool. Well, they put them out in, like, the 90s, but, yeah. I think you can still get them on Amazon Music, though.
Let's see. Remember the year of hell, Star Trek Voyager? It went nowhere. How you doing, Joe? I'm well.
Disagree.
The year of hell was, that's what read, right?
A butt bug ate my baby.
When you talk about depressing episodes,
I think that might
that's up there. The year of hell is up there for a
depressing. Year of
hell. I like that episode because I like to see how far the crew could be defeated, basically, and not
tested.
I found it very inspiring.
Yeah, that's a great episode. That's I think that's a ecstasy booth one for the future for sure.
There's some people who hate it.
Well, clearly, based on your decisions on the wheel, Joe, me and Jason will make that choice for you.
What are you talking about? You're like,
Patrick Swayze. Okay. Patrick Swayze has ghost sex and it's romantic. Shakar from Deep Space Nine has ghost sex and it's creepy.
Yeah.
Double standard, or does it just say something about Shakar? I don't know.
I'm not into interdimensional relations. I think there's something. I think Chris Hansen needs to start another show to stop that type of thing.
I'm not going to tell you. Try it, fellas.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You take Tapestry and the Christmas scene in Generations and you put them together and you realize Patrick Stewart really likes A Christmas Story. To your point.
Does he start growing mutton chops in one of them? And
right,
We just need to see
smacking
Patrick
around
Stewart
Tiny Tim.
We just need to see Patrick Stewart in a pink bunny onesie at one point.
Yeah.
Just to complete the Christmas movie trifecta.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I don't want
you
to wear this, Deanna. I don't care if your mother knitted it. I'm not wearing it.
With the dagger hanging out of his chest, yes.
Now, you were talking about the next episode, Family, right? And family deals with Picard's PTSD, right? And how do we feel? Because we're coming up to movie soon. How they bring it all back up again for First Contact. Did they ever bother any of you guys? Because I remember it bothering me. It's like, we've dealt with this. Picard's then gone on a heap of adventures, and then we get to First Contact, and they're like, oh, but you're affected by the Borg.
Well,
I feel like by the Borg before, because remember they had a whole episode.
But Federation had no issues.
I'm talking.
You're wrong. Where's that video clip?
They had an entire episode called "I Borg," in which Picard was dealing with his feelings towards the Borg.
Yes.
I really like
to take you out back.
But I agree. Yes, they had it dealing about it. Then why bring it all back up as a central point
PTSD
for the movie?
PTSD does not instantly go away.
I suppose you're right.
It's not a switch.
Did it switch off once he beat the Borg?
No, but I agree with that. Fair, but why is the Federation okay with it for 2 years and they're not okay?
Surrounding the Borg, it also unlocks all the stuff that he's dealt with in his past from his childhood and dealing with his father. And like the episode of Family really kind of unlocks like
he didn't have a great childhood either. So like while he's, it's like when you go to therapy and then like, as you slowly start to peel away some of the things, everything just kind of opens up. And that happens with Picard, you know, in a TV like fashion where he gets the catharsis he needs in 45 minutes, but that's kind of how it works. Is just like, well, let me deal with this one issue. Oh, it's compounding with this issue and this issue and this issue. So it just kind of unfolds.
Well, it's not that Picard has PTSD. It's the fact, it's more why does Starfleet don't have an issue with it, and then all of a sudden it's an issue. That's the whole thing.
It was the first time the Borg came back to Sector 001 since the
Best of Both Worlds.
Was
that the only
these episodes?
Well, 30 years ago, but did he not interact with the Borg again for four other seasons? Is that what you're saying?
He interacted with the Borg twice. There was iBorg, and then there was Descent.
Descent
was Butt. We don't count it.
Whoever said it happened,
but we don't count it. It was Butt.
I'm still questioning the authority of Starfleet for being. I think it was a personal thing more than a proper operational choice in First Contact, and it still fucking bothers me. So
I'm pretty sure that a captain that was involved in Wolf 359 and escaped was an admiral by that point, and was like, "We're not letting this guy anywhere near this battle."
Oh, that's a great point.
Where's that missed
opportunity?
Is that a theory?
Or you're saying that's fact? That happened.
I'm saying that's fact, and you can't disprove it.
Well, I'm pretty sure all I have to do is ask a few of these Star Trek nerds and someone.
Macho Man thinks you just need to accept that. Oh, yeah. You see, you don't know who was in Sector 0.
Ooh, let me tell you something about Picard and the Borg, baby. You're going to mash them both together and get the best of
them. I got to switch over to Hulk Hogan because he's got the better impression.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm telling you, brother. He knows all about who's going where. He knows who's going to be there. He's an admiral. He knows what he's saying. You need to listen to the Hulkster, and you need to listen good.
Oh,
my goodness. It showed that they had latent prejudice against him.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, buddy. Yeah, they do. They got this is a personal thing against Picard. That's what it is.
Think about the way Starfleet sees Picard, though, because you got a guy who was assimilated, and then he is handed on a silver platter a way to defeat the Borg by putting this program into them, and he chooses not to.
And then
a couple of years later, you know, the Borg are feral now, and Picard's got this new shield, and we're never seen again. Imagine how incompetent Picard seems to Starfleet by this point.
Yeah.
How did he get the E then? How did he get the E after the D crash?
They don't want him going full Borg. So it's like, who should we give the E to? Give it to Picard and then send him out to the edge of the frontier. So he won't the implants are going to erupt and he's going to kill us all.
Wow. So we are visited by a guest this week.
That's great.
This has been a great episode. Thank you everyone for coming in with such
all your asses, I swear.
Before we get into the role of things that you need to check out, please, sir, Computer Resume is a podcast that you are host or co-host of. Please tell us all about it.
I am the host. I am the producer. I am the scheduler, the editor. It's all me, baby. Yeah. My show, Computer Resume Podcast, is available wherever you get your podcasts. We're covering the entire Star Trek franchise in chronological order for some reason. I'd like to torture myself. So right now we are hip deep in our coverage of Strange New Worlds, and we've got some very exciting guests coming soon. You can find us at Computer Resume on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Venmo, and Patreon, hint, hint. If you're a fan of TTRPGs, I play the Andorian security chief, Lieutenant Commander Pholos Endileev, reporting for duty and ready to stab on Cosmic Crit. That's at Cosmic Crit on YouTube and Instagram. If you like stand-up comedy, I will be going on tour this summer, but only if I get a little help from listeners. I am mr.tadavis@gmail.com on PayPal and at Mr. Todd A. Davis on Venmo. Please, if you enjoy stand-up comedy, please, please help me make that happen. And I'm at Mr. Todd A. Davis on Facebook, X, Instagram, Letterboxd, and D&D Beyond, as long as they behave themselves.
There you go. All right. So let us go into the throw. Thank you so much. That was very well done. We've got our friend Karen Nordine. Please be sure to Karine Nordine, excuse me. Be sure to check out her books. She was a guest a couple of weeks ago. She's an amazing person. And her books are amazing. So be sure you check them out. And we have, just for you, Jason, the proper card, video card of your channel. So go for it. We have
for weeks now.
Yeah. Absolutely. There you go.
Look at that. That is correct. Come join us on the Jason Roy Gaston YouTube channel with my furry friends and my furry friend. Oh, goodness. That was slick.
Who looks clearly happy to be in the photo.
Yes, absolutely. We do movie reviews. We talk television. We are hip deep into Avatar, The Last Airbender, and He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. We're going to start talking about the Netflix series very soon. Ooh. I'm very excited about. We're I hope we can keep up with our filming schedule.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. And then,
of course, well, what he's referring to is we recorded an episode of Avatar, the last episode, episode 3. It was a good episode. We did great. And then I was supposed to post it this morning, and I accidentally deleted the file.
I deleted
the file within the software, so I don't have recovery. It's not like I can run a recovery tool. It's gone.
Well, I was actually referring to the fact that we have so many episodes of He-Man recorded ahead.
I was exposing
you kind of just outed yourself there.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, now you can recover by telling us about
all human. Oh, yeah. Please come over and join. Doing really, really well over TikTok. 21,000 at the moment. Followers, putting up with all the great little clips going there. But go over to YouTube. Please follow me because it's really pathetic, my subscriber base over there. Doing well on TikTok, but not on YouTube. Please make that happen. I'm desperate.
Well, my favorite.
My favorite, Code of Honor.
There you go.
Joe, it's true. It is your favorite. And I'm glad you're reusing that clip I cut for you because it is your favorite episode.
It's like, it's hard for me to go Inner Light, Code of Honor, you know, like.
What you say when you're watching the episode is just really offensive. You know, you shouldn't be calling you saying the people that you come from, you shouldn't be calling them
the people that I come from. Wow.
You do come from that planet, don't you?
Yeah. That's my origin. My origin story. Yeah. Please.
Got danced a line there. Jeez, I think I got away with that. Let's go. Yeah, let's move forward.
Please be sure to visit all your Doctor Who stuff over at the 2BC Network and the Console Room podcast every Tuesday at 8 p.m. A lot of fun there talking about Doctor Who, and we have brand new Doctor Who episodes coming up. Jason Regaston was a guest. If you're a Whovian, reach out. We can have a spot for you there. If you
haven't asked me to be a guest on the show.
Do you like Doctor Who?
No.
Well, what do you think? That's why I never asked. If you are into pure, unadulterated nerd talk, especially for Star Wars, please be sure to visit our friends, the Scarif podcast over at the Red 5 Network. Lots of fun being there and a part of that. Please be sure to visit our friends, the Sci-Fi Queens. And if you are feeling that road to WrestleMania, be sure to check out our sponsor and good friend, AJ Orsini's Uncensored Mind, part of the OUM.
Why is a TARDIS on that one?
Isn't
it a wrestling show?
He's just wrestling in pop culture. So it was supposed to remind me to. No, but thanks. Yeah. So
just a question.
Yeah, no, it was perfect timing. Perfect timing. So be sure to check out AJ Orsini's Uncensored Mind over on wherever you listen to podcasts, especially on Podbean. And of course, Trek Long Island 2. We will all be there, including our guest this week. He will also be in Trek Long Island.
I won't be, clearly, because I'm not on screen.
You will be. Well, I will be, too.
I can't even lean over.
We're both like, hey.
Hang on a minute. I'll fix this. No. You still can't fix it. Still not going to work. What about this? No.
No.
I'm just out of it. The void.
Yeah.
There are so many amazing guests. Melissa, Armin Shimmerman, Ethan Phillips. There's so many guests coming along. And it's going to be so much fun. Chase Masterson's going to be there. It's going to be a blast.
I challenge that. I think I'll probably be come the longest distance out of anyone to this convention.
Yeah. Yeah. All the way from Australia.
Yep.
So this is going to be epic.
Southern Australia at the bottom. So
oh, you're the other. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Even the guy from Melbourne, I'm still traveling further.
There you go. So you are the furthest away and the happiest to be there. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be a blast. I don't
know about happiest.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to be like, I'm in America.
It is, because it's been my first trip to the States.
Yeah.
And my first trip to the States means trek on Long Island, where
yeah.
You'll get to see us on stage
in person,
Star Trek stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. So be
Can
sure.
Can we make an announcement about what we're doing on the...
No, we were told
no. Not.
Yes.
Okay. We're there doing will nothing be at the convention.
Nudity.
I will be out the back near the bins. Yeah, just hanging out.
Just hanging out. As soon as somebody
goes, come and see me there.
Living the
I'll be I'll be signing books in Artist Alley until security tells me to leave.
Yeah, stop signing those other people's books.
Don't you want to know the fun of rock tumbling? I wrote this under a pen name.
Oh.
National Geographic
is my pen name. It's only $45. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Be sure to check all that out. And I will be interviewing Melanie Smith, from Star Trek Deep Space Nine in about 3 weeks over in Hampton, Long Island, for a very special jump off for Trek Long Island. So much exciting things happening. So much fun. Next week, Sub Rosa, we're going to have a blast. Once again, thank you so much, Todd Davis, for joining us. Be sure to check out the Computer Resume podcast. We appreciate you, and we will see you soon. Until next time, live long life and peace. Take care.